some troubling signs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Apple made a big announcement yesterday. It cut $200 off the price of its iPhone to boost sales. Is that a sign of weakness? Well, investors thought so and dumped Apple shares. They were down more than 5% yesterday. That helped to send the stock market lower. Investors were also troubled by more signs of weakness for the economy. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli has that story.
Layoffs surged in the financial sector. Pending home sales fell by 12%. Economists had expected a 2% drop. And a major economic group said housing's a worse than expected drag on the economy. The subprime crisis and housing woes are feeding on each other, says Wachovia Bank economic analyst Adam York.
Subprime worries were what arguably sparked this last credit crisis, and the credit crisis in and of itself is creating problems for the housing market.
Now a wider spillover effect appears to be materializing, but York isn't pushing any panic buttons yet.
We don't think it's a doomsday scenario. We're not looking for a recession in the U.S. economy at this point, but we would certainly say that we think the impact is larger than we thought it would be a month ago.
York says tomorrow's employment report will be the next big indicator of how far housing and subprime misery is spreading. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
So in light of all of that, the Dow fell 143 to 13,305. The S&P slipped 17 points to 1,472, and the NASDAQ was down 24 to 2,605. Overnight in Tokyo, the Nikkei moved lower. There are worries about Japanese exporters being hurt by a slowdown in the U.S. economy. In Europe, stocks are mixed this morning after the European Central Bank pumped more money into the banking system. Europe's biggest car maker, Volkswagen, is moving its North American headquarters from Michigan to Northern Virginia. Here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Volkswagen says it's shifting its U.S. headquarters to the East Coast because that's where most of its American customers are. The company also believes that a young, skilled workforce will find Herndon in Virginia a more attractive place to be. 400 new jobs will be created. 400 will go in Detroit. About 600 will remain there in a call center. Volkswagen is anxious to shake up one of its biggest and most troubled foreign operations. Its U.S. division lost almost $700 million last year, about half its total losses. The move to Virginia is an undoubted blow to Detroit. The city clearly has an image problem, says a senior Volkswagen executive. People are saying everything is its fault. It's a rust belt, and it's not taking CO2 seriously. From the European desk, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The chief economist at the World Bank thinks the housing crisis in the U.S. is nearly over. Little comfort to the 900 workers laid off nationwide yesterday by Countrywide Financial. Add those to the 500 positions Countrywide cut last month in its subprime unit.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems. Working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org. And by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring the mysterious human heart. A PBS series shedding light on heart disease through the stories of people from around the world, premiering on PBS in October.
The Smithsonian Institution has been in a mess. There have been questions about its business practices and the conduct of some former executives. This is a huge organization, 19 museums, 9 research centers, and a zoo. It's funded from a variety of sources. Some money comes from the government, some from private contributions, and some from the profits of its magazine and gift shops. Now there's evidence the Smithsonian's gift shops aren't making the money they could. And as Jeremy Hobson reports, there's a move to change that.
I'm standing on the steps of the Smithsonian's Natural History Museum, and I would say about half the people coming out of the museum at this point have a blue bag with the Smithsonian Sun logo on it, which means they've been to the gift shop.
A stone bowl and a piece of copper. I have to have my souvenirs.
No problems there, but then there's this guy.
Yeah, we weren't really in the buying thing.
The problem, according to a Smithsonian Commission report done by the consulting firm Berglass Grayson, is that there are too many people like that who don't buy anything. The report says the museum stores are poorly located, that the top-selling items are not prominently displayed and are sometimes out of stock, and that the current profit margin of about 15% could double if the stores were managed properly.
They've got their opinion, we have an opinion, and we've decided to execute accordingly.
That's Paul Flickinger, the chief operating officer for museum retail at the Smithsonian. He says the report wrongly compared the Smithsonian's gift shops to commercial retailers who have more choice in what they sell.
We want to make sure that what we sell is authentic, what we sell matches the needs of the wide disparity of visitors that come, of all demographics.
But since the museums are funded largely by tax dollars, Congress cares how the shops perform. Here's Republican Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa.
Money's fungible. So a dollar wasted in the business venture is a dollar of money that's going to have to be made up by the taxpayers.
Grassley says Congress could exert more control over the Smithsonian if it's not managed satisfactorily. But perhaps, says Paul Flickinger, the dilemma comes down to this.
This is a museum first, and it's a retail organization second.
Finding the appropriate balance between the two will come front and center over the next few months as the Smithsonian accepts bids from outside companies who want to run its stores. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Coca-Cola wants you to drink up and be nice to the planet when you're done. The company's helping to build a plastics recycling plant in South Carolina. Coke wants to recycle or reuse every bottle it sells in the U.S., but the company stopped short of setting a target date for that goal. Right now, Coke estimates about 10% of its plastic bottles are recycled. The plant is a joint venture with United Resource Recovery Corporation. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening, and make it a good day.
American Public Media.